You can hit it on the, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. The book of Hebrews is a wonderful book.
Yeah.
It is a book that, I'm going to do a little visual today if it's going to get this. Please.
What's it doing?
I don't know. Drag it. Come on, Louie, get in here and participate, would you? You got company, don't be like... Don't be acting up. Don't be acting up. We got company. Don't be acting up. Wait a minute.
Here. Sit over there and make faces at you so you laugh.
That's right.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Pink.
I don't know what what's going on. I don't know what's going on here.
That's the color you need to use for the old folks out in back.
For the old folks, okay.
So we can see.
You know, and the, you're right, I need to do that.
You're correct.
I'll do that when I start.
Is that permanent?
Neon. Yes, it's permanent, Mom.
Well, you need it be writing on that board?
Dry erase. Okay. Only certain people in this room write with... Now, Brother Joe put his hand up. Thank you.
It comes off.
It does come off, but with some effort. We used to write on this board right here behind you what somebody needed, like I need a Sunday school class lesson or something. Brother Joe grabs a, not a dry erase, but a permanent marker, and Richard's over there trying to go,
this come off.
Permanent. So anyway, we may have to, we may get, that says neon, we may get neons and use upstairs.
That's a good idea.
Use neon, because you can see this better, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The only problem with this is we're going to talk about God. I don't want it to be that pink.
That's okay.
Okay, so. Well, I didn't want him to be black either, so, you know, evil black. Well, good to have everybody here today. Sometimes y'all come, sometimes you don't. That's good. Hey, Malcolm. Good morning. Everybody make sure you say hi to Brother Russ Dunker from Minnesota. Say it.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, you gotta say Minnesota.
Good morning, Russ.
It's M-I-N-N-E-S-O-D-A. We drink soda down here in Minnesota, but good to have him with us today. Come all the way. He drove a long way to get to church. So,
sure did.
At my house.
And yeah, get them all. Okay, here we go. All right, we're gonna be in the book of Hebrews. Let me read you what Scofield said about this, just to give you the theme of what's going on, because like I said before in the book of Romans, I believe if you get the history behind why it was written, you can understand why Paul wrote what he did. We know many scholars refute the book of Hebrews being written by Paul, but man, that's nothing but Paul can write that.
That's right.
There's no other prophet at the time that could write the book of Hebrews like the Apostle Paul. All right, so this is what he says. The writer, the authorship of Hebrews has been in controversy over the earliest times. The book is anonymous, but the reference in 2 Peter 3:15 seems conclusive that Paul was the writer. So 2 Peter 3:15. Somebody get 2 Peter 3:15 if you got a Bible, and let's read that. I'm not going to get it because I got it right. I'm open up to this. 2 Peter 3:15 seems conclusive that Paul was a writer. See also Hebrews 13:23. All agree that, whether by Paul or another, the point of view is Paulinian or Pauline, which they call the New Testament the Paulinian Bible because Paul wrote 80% of it. Right? And his influence was throughout all of it, because even though he didn't write the book of Acts, Luke wrote the book of Acts. It was written by Luke about Paul and the disciples. So we undoubtedly have here the method of Paul's synagogue address. Somebody got 2 Peter 3:15, Brother Rush? How about reading that for?
2 Peter 3:15.
2 Peter 3:15.
An account, make sure I'm in the right one.
Yeah.
An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you.
See there? So there it is. No book of Scripture more fully authenticates itself as inspired. The date from internal evidence, it is clear that Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Obviously, because Paul died in 66. This was written in AD 64. So this is heading toward the end of Paul's time on earth. All right. The theme is the doctrinal passages reveal the purpose of the book. It is written with a twofold intent. One, to confirm Jewish Christians by showing that Judaism had come to an end through the fulfillment of Christ of the whole purpose of the law. And two, the hortatory passages, ever what that means, H-O-R-T-A-T-O-R-Y, passages show that the writer had in view, I wasn't going to read this, obviously I hadn't studied it, but I felt led to read it. Because Scofield, you know, and though that Scofield is a Trinitarian, there's a lot of things he does bring out of history that is exactly the truth. All right, and Brother Brown used Scofield a lot. Brother Brown is not the person to come up with the word theophany and all those things. Scofield wrote about it in the 1600s, you know, early 1900s. But now Brother Brown picks up by inspiration that it's the truth. And then he shows us too that you don't follow everything that Scofield said, because he is a Trinitarian, and he'll tell you the Trinity is laced throughout the Bible, you know, but that's not true. Maybe in other people's minds it is. It is clear from the Book of Acts that even the strongest of believers in Palestine were held to a strange mingling of Judaism and Christianity. In other words, Acts 21:18-24, when they mingled there together. And that snare would be especially apt to entangle professed Christians amongst the Jews of the dispersion. Get in here. Sit down. Hey, plenty of room for you, skinny. The key word is better. Hebrews is a series of contrasts between the good things of Judaism and the better things of Christ. Christ is better than angels, than Moses, than Joshua, than Aaron, and the new covenant than the Mosaic covenant. Church truth does not appear the ground of gathering only being stated, which is 13:13, we'll read that. The whole spirit of Christian profession is before the writer. In other words, he's exhorting Christians, which is what the Bible is all about. Hence, exhortations necessary to warn and alarm a mere professor. In other words, common people read it and get alarmed by it. Christians read it and say, man, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, and that's God. All right, Hebrews is in six divisions, but these include five parenthetic passages of exhortation. Number one, the great salvation. Number two, the rest of God. Rest, R-E-S-T, the rest of God, which is in chapter 3 and 4. Our great high priest, which is in 5-8, which is, man, it's going to be wonderful when we get into Melchizedek. The new covenant and the heavenly sanctuary, which is chapter 8-10. Number five, the superiority of the faith way, which is verse 11. And number six, the worship and walk of the believer priest, which is chapter 12 through the end of the book. So he kind of breaks it down. Just keep that in your mind, because what we're going to do today is I want us to see something that's going to help you maybe from what Brother Dale's been preaching on the Son of God and the Son of Man and the Son of David. Because right here, Paul starts out, God, who had sundry times. Now that sundry is what? Many. In other words, Scofield, the original, says in many parts and in many ways. So God, who in many parts and in many ways spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Who was that? Old Testament. Paul's going back into that Old Testament and saying the prophets talked about God, and he was what? He was Jehovah. In the Old Testament, right?
Right.
He was also, if I could get that a little bit deeper, boy, you could see that, couldn't you? There's your Son of God.
Right.
Now back here, we're going to put creation. Is everybody okay with that? Because in the beginning, you're going to look, see right here, that verse 2, we're going to see who he's talking about. God, who at sundry times, now he's not talking about Jesus. Talking about God. God who has sent you. Say, oh, the same person. Keep that out of your mind for a little while. Lay that aside for a little while. We know that. But I've just got to read you the Bible, and we got to figure out, because Trinitarians read this and see it their way, but we're going to look at it and see there is a position. Because remember, this creator God was not Jesus' flesh.
Right.
Flesh Jesus.
Right.
Now, am I saying it wasn't Jesus? But it's not flesh Jesus.
Right.
Okay, it's not flesh Jesus. That flesh came from God, but it had to be put in the womb. It had to be mine and your brother. Because right here, this is not our brother.
No, that's
right. Wait a minute. This is what? Father.
That's right.
This is Father.
Right.
When he comes out and says, let there be, he becomes the spoken word.
That's right.
All right. Now that spoken word we know is going to continue on and be made flesh, called Son of Man, right. Jesus Christ.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now remember, we're not Trinitarians.
Right.
We're not two-ness. There was one man standing at creation and said, "Let there be."
Exactly.
Now it was the same man that should have stood on the shores of Galilee.
Yes, it was.
In the year A.D. 28, 29, whatever in there, right? Same man.
That's right.
But just different positions, different offices, all right? So we're looking at the Son of God, which is the spoken word. Now watch, because look, God, who at many times and in many ways, because remember, every prophet didn't exactly describe God the way the other one did.
Exactly, that's right.
You see him in your own revelation. What we were talking about last night with Brother Rush. You know, that people, we have been told for years in the denominational world that grandma is gone on to see, and she's walking with Jesus on the streets of gold. That's not true.
Right.
We know that, but why do they say that? There's not a doctrine in the Bible. They've been told that. They've been told that hell is eternal, because it's not in the Bible. They've been told that the Father, Son, Holy Ghost is a trinity of people. But that's not true. But they've been told that so much till they believe it. Believe a lie and be damned by it. All right? So we know that this man walks out, this theophany man walks out, says, let there be light, but then he what? He is Jehovah, Father God. Through the Old Testament, there is no way he can enter into the soul of an individual. Even the great Moses and all, because remember, we're going to look, because Christ is better than angels, than Moses, than Joshua, than Aaron. Okay? Now, we know it was Christ and Moses.
Amen.
But Moses can't even be a son of God. Right. He's not. There's no son of God in the Old Testament except Adam, when God took a piece of this and put it in Adam.
Amen.
And made him a son of God.
That's right.
Everybody okay with that? We got it. All right? But we'll continue in just a minute, because watch. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, what was carried down from the Old Testament has come down now to where Paul is standing. If it's in the AD 64 and AD 60s, we've been 30 years since Jesus came on earth. He's already left. He's already come back into people, and he's already into Paul. And Paul, I'm talking about into him by the new birth.
Right.
All right. So this is not Paul's writing. This is Paul's character, but it's God. God's writing this. Paul is not taking his own thought and writing this with it. He's writing this by what somebody inside of him is telling him to write. Right? Where my times passed unto the fathers by the prophets. Now remember, you take Ezekiel and something, Brother Dale's been covering that. Prophesy, Son of Man. Well, what was that? That was God in human flesh, temporary. Temporary. But you and I are not temporary. God would come down on Moses and so indwell Moses till they'd have to hide his face. He would speak and God would do, it would just happen. That's why he told Moses, why cry speak? Why? That was Moses crying. That wasn't God crying. But God would anoint in the Old Testament. He would come down just like, now you got to take your Holy of Holies. I told you, this Hebrews may last us into the millennium. We may not get off of this, so thank you. We may not get off of this for a long time. But the book of Hebrews, to me, it just covers everything. So we look and see that when they built the temple in the Old Testament, I've been back in reading Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to get the law and all the feast days and stuff together. But what happened was, now they were a pillar of fire, right? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. But every once in a while, during the first one part of the year, that would settle down into the Holy of Holies. One man would walk in and offer a sacrifice for the whole of Israel, and the Shekinah glory would cover the temple. It didn't cover it all the time. It was above us. God above us.
Right.
Because he didn't want to dwell in a box.
Right.
He wanted to dwell in the people, but he couldn't because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. That blocked every bit of that for man to get back, for God to get back into the soul of man until he came to eradicate sin in the soul of man. He had to stay above them. Drop down every once in a while and anoint Moses. But then Moses, obviously, was still Moses when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. All right, that was Moses. And then you take Elisha and Elijah and all the different ones. You look at their life and you look at their prophetic. They're God to the people. But a lot of people didn't pay attention to what they said. Isaiah was killed as a young boy because of what he said. All the different ones were killed and sawed asunder, Isaiah was, and all the different ones. We read that in the Bible, and I think it's still in Hebrews too. Hebrews 11.
40.
Well, 1-40. You cannot do away with every... We were talking about going... Can we skip to Hebrews 11, 40? No, we gotta get all these other people perfected first. But the blood of bulls and goats, that's what people even in the message don't understand. The blood of bulls and goats only covered. You see that covering? That's a cover.
Yes.
So that when sin was here on earth, it come up to here and it wasn't eradicated. It just bumped up against it and it stayed right here.
Exactly.
Right up underneath.
Right.
Everybody okay with that? That okay to write it like it just it couldn't. If he went to God, he'd have to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So but it didn't do away with it because it was still there.
That's right.
Brother Brandon will tell us. One man would go in, make a sacrifice for committing adultery, go right back out, commit adultery the next year, and bring another sacrifice the next year. Why? Because the comer therefore cannot be made perfect by the sacrifices. But see, when that Son of God drops down into time, see, that's what makes a difference. Okay? These were natural lambs that died just as a substitute for what was coming. Okay? Because watch. Let's continue on. God, who at sundry times, many times, and in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So in other words, God would anoint Moses, then it would come off of it. God would anoint Elisha. Listen, that wasn't an anointing of God, of Elisha, when he got the two she-bears to kill the 42 kids. That was Elisha, but remember, God had to honor what he said. He was so close. Because why didn't God say, no, Elisha, I'm not going to kill him. No. He honored what that prophet said. Like Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I can make this gift work. I can make it work. Why? Because he's so close to God. In the prophetic way, he's so close to God, he can make it work. Come back up. Thank you. All right. So in other words, he would anoint the prophet. But now remember, when Jesus came, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. When Jesus came, sure there was anointing that came on him for his ministry. But he was born Lord the Christ. He had that Christ that was in the Old Testament above. He had it in him. He didn't even have it in him. He was it.
That's right.
All right. So, but we got to stay up here though. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Not this Son. He come as the Son of Man.
That's right.
Okay? Which is God in human flesh. Now, these were God in human flesh, but they weren't God totally residing in that flesh.
That's right.
He would anoint Moses to do what he needs to do. Then he would come off of that man called Moses, and Moses could be a murderer. Each one in the Old Testament, listen, they all have flaws. Every one of them, there was some little something that they did on their own that even God honored because they were so close to the office. But now the Son of Man never come down here, and then one day you saw him out drinking a beer, and then the next day you saw him prophesying or being God. No, he was God all the time. Not that he wasn't a human, not that he didn't have to eat or even have bad thoughts.
Exactly.
You got to remember, his best friend... Let's just say it this way. His best friend was Mary Magdalene at one time, and she was a prostitute. So he had to see that world go on around him. You understand? In other words, what I'm saying is, Jesus didn't get up and all of a sudden all the sin just laid down, you know, just lay down off of him, you know. No, the Bible says demons came to him after the 40-day in the wilderness. The demons bothered him during that whole time, and God sent angels to strengthen him. Why? Because he was in a human body. He was subject to be your brother. This is not your brother. This is God Almighty. This is not your brother. This is your brother. Okay, is everybody all right with that? Like I said, Sunday, you can be a son of man by the new birth. But you can't ever be the son of man because you were born from a mom and daddy through a sexual act. And that's not the way God wanted it. Okay? But now that part that come into you, this part here when it comes into you, that makes you a child of God. You're regened. Paul says, follow me in the what? Regening or regeneration. All right. In other words, so we're being regened from the inside.
Yes.
We still have the same genetics we were born with.
Amen.
But we're being regened. I was telling Russ last night, and I'm working on a little project to bring out a point of what the world sees normal, we see abnormal. What we see, right? What we see normal, they see vice versa. Both.
That's right.
We're so abnormal. You say, well. And you don't need to make yourself. Brother Bram said, don't make yourself odd. He said, you're already odd. Okay? The things that the world is just, you look out and they just, you know, they hang on politics and they hang on sports figures and Hollywood and so-and-so married so-and-so. You need to get those Little People magazines and you walk by the Walmart and they put the magazines right here where when you stop, you got to read them all. Woman born with four, you know, and... alien born from a woman, and you're sitting there going, they put it right here, and we read them. Now, we may not pick the book up and buy them, but now, see, that's what they call normal, is to pick it up and buy it. It would be abnormal if you saw that in, what's the name of one of them? Is it Globe or, no, what is it? See, I don't even know. Inquirer. Anyway, so, if you know them, you've looked at them. All right, guilty. Inquiring minds want to know. That's the name of the point. We want to inquire about this. This is what we're inquiring about today. Hath in these last days, 2,000 years. So Paul is at the beginning of the church ages, but he knows that this is going to last all the way to the consummation. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, God, hath appointed the Son, not the two different people. See, here's what Trinitarians say, oh man, the Son is getting something from the Father. Position.
That's right.
Position.
That's right.
Position. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh, but at one time he wasn't in human flesh.
That's right.
Now, I'm like some, I'm not going to ever preach on it, or this may be all I can say online, but there was enough substance of God in the Garden of Eden. We said, well, he was a spirit, he was a theophany. He killed two lambs,
sure did.
Pulled their skins off, and threw them in the bushes for Adam and Eve. So he must have had some substance, more than just, you know, floating like the wind, you know. No, God's a person. And he had something, you can call it flesh or whatever you want to, but that theophany was really real. It was like, there's nothing like that. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now you go back to Romans, when we read Romans, that Jesus Christ, we are heirs and joint heirs. We can't be joint heirs with this guy. He's never sinned a day in his life. This is never a man that's been tempted. This man was tempted. Same man, different form. This man's been tempted. You can't tempt this man. That's why Jesus kept pointing back to who? Father. The Father's greater than me. Well, why? Because the Father's the creator. He never lived a day on this earth that he had to worry about a prostitute walking by him with no clothes on.
That's right.
But when that man decided, because of me and you, see, he decided all this. Because of me and you, and to come down here to get us, He had to be this.
That's right.
And he come down through this barrier. See, from right here up is eternal.
Amen.
From right here down had to be made eternal. Now, the Son of Man didn't have to be made eternal, but that flesh he was living in had to be made eternal. That's why Brother Brown said, he said, what Jesus inherited, he inherited eternal life. Now, he didn't inherit eternal life because he was this guy. This is eternal life. But he inherited eternal life in his body, and then he didn't just keep it. He made a way for me and you to do it.
Amen.
All right? So, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, who is making the world? The Creator. That's why Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ. We've got to do this again, too. We've got to put Christ up here. Because this man become who? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There was many Jesuses in that day.
That's true.
There was many Judases. There were common names.
Right.
They're even common names now. But there was never a Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Okay? Everybody got that?
Yes.
That's why we baptize not in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
We baptize in the name of the Lord to give him his ownership, rulership, Jesus Christ. That's the complete baptism. Because really, to be technical, nobody in the Bible was ever, that was written, was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Jesus' name, that's where the Jesus' name people get it, and Jesus Christ. It never says Lord Jesus Christ, but when we had a prophet come along to tell us that he's our Lord, so we give him that position, we don't give it to him, but in other words, he's in that position because of us.
Right.
To be a Lord, you got to have somebody to Lord over, all right? So here's Jehovah God in the Old Testament, can't come down through the blood. Are the blood of bulls and goats is right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write that, but this is the blood. But it is a substitute.
That's right.
God said, I'm going to put this blanket here so I don't kill anybody.
That's right.
Because if not, he'd have just come right down with angry eyes and just killed everybody that lived on the face of the earth, and he would have started all over again.
That's right.
But he says, I'm going to, and to me, Genesis 3:15, greatest scripture in the world. I'll put enmity. What is enmity? Division. I'll put division between me and the people. But I'm going to come down and I'm going to do what? Bruise the head of the serpent. So what did he do? He come down through that and became the Son of Man, which is now man blood. And the life in man blood is different from the life in animal blood. Animal blood has a life in it, but there's no soul, no controlling factor. Read your Bible, read the prophet's message, the Word. If you really understand the Word, everybody got this? Because the Bible says that the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, dividing asunder the joint and the marrow.
Yes, that's right.
Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. So if you know the Word, there's a body, a spirit, and a soul, and a man. There is only a body and a spirit in animals.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why that killing an animal is not murder. Now it's murder us. Because Brother Brown said, you just go out there and kill animals. You're right. Consider you. But now, you're not a murderer according to the law because they killed animals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifices. I mean, that was the whole deal. God looked at them sacrifices and said, I'm going to withhold all this sin until I get down here and I'm going to make one sacrifice. That's what we're going to read in Hebrews. He said he sacrificed one time for all. If the blood of bulls and goats would have worked, there would have been no need for the preacher or pastor to get up every Sunday and preach. He could have just preached one service and be done with it. That's basically what he's saying. But now we have to go back. But he made one sacrifice from all. So the Son of Man is the one that made the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. That's not the Lamb of God.
No.
This is the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're going to see, and I hope Brother Dale covers it later on, but he and I were talking about it the other day. This is the way I see even Revelation 5. Who took the book? This man? No, this is the one that was sitting on the throne. This man took the book. Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. Then you go look and said, John, what'd you see? I turned from the line of the tribe of Judah. What did he turn and see? He saw a bloody lamb. Yes. This guy doesn't bleed. Everybody understand what I'm saying? These not two different guys. I'm saying guys so you can understand it just in plain language. This guy don't bleed. This guy bled. So who was standing in front of the throne? He was sitting on the throne. That's the Father's throne. The Son of Man came around the throne and you see the bloody lamb. He takes the book, the sixth seal book of redemption, and there's your seventh seal right there. The Son of Man, this is not the seventh seal. If the seventh seal was for our redemption, this is all redemption. This guy doesn't need redeeming.
That's right.
His body needed redeeming, right? Jesus' body needed to be redeemed.
Yes.
All right? And as being redeemed, now you and I can be redeemed. So there's your seventh seal. The sixth seal was sealed up in the book. And we're sitting here today opening the book, trying to get the people to see. But who took it? The Son of Man took the book. So there's got to be in the end time, there's got to be a revelation of the Son of Man to take the book. Amen. Okay? Amen. We all right with that?
Yes.
But man blood's what died for us, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We made everything by this man, which was what? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? But can you get it this way? In the beginning was Russ in the theophany form. Let's just read that. Can you swallow one time and read that? John 1. Let's go to John 1. John 1. Because it's got to be personal, right?
Right?
Man, it's hot in here. That's all right. I'm sweating. In the beginning, now remember, we put our earthly name in there because that's the only way I can identify Russ. When I say Russ, you know exactly who I'm talking about. This guy right here. So in the beginning was Russ. And Russ was with God. And Russ was God. Ooh. Ooh. The same was in the beginning with God. If he's born again today, not the man I'm looking at. But that theophany man that's inside of this brother, or you sisters, or anybody, that was in this right here. That said, let there be. Because where'd you come from? I've always preached on Genesis 1:26. Remember Genesis 1:26? It's a creation, but it's not a creation where there's a beginning and an ending.
That's right.
It's a bringing forth or stepping forward out of something. So in the beginning, you were there. In the beginning, with God. And you were God, because if you were a... Hello? How many times have I told you? We are still two-ness. Two-ness is Antichrist. We think that, well, when God created, he was standing there creating, and all of us were standing around him. Not at that moment we weren't.
Right.
We were in that man.
Right.
And you know what? If you're God, there's no part of you that's evil.
That's right.
There's no part of you that's someone else.
That's
there's
right.
No part of you that is anything else.
That's right.
I'm telling you that the only way we're going to understand this Bible is because the guy that wrote it is inside of you.
Amen.
And you have to literally see, like Brother Brown said, when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, where were you? You were in that man.
That's right.
So I can understand what happened with Jesus when he did the things he did. If you got the same guy inside of you.
That's true.
So, and then let's read verse 14. And the Russ was made flesh. See, we put that all to Jesus. But if you're born again today, the Word inside of you is made flesh. Because you were born by what? The Word. You weren't born by mom and daddy on that birth. You were born by the Word of God. Which is who? God. Right here. This is the speaker.
That's right.
The one that did the speaking. Now watch Paul. Look. Who being the brightness of his glory... and the express image of his person. So in other words, this guy is the same guy as this guy. How do you express something? You talk about it.
Speak.
When you express something, you talk about it.
That's right.
Who did Jesus talk about? The Father. Because that's all they could understand. They couldn't understand that that was the Father talking to them.
Okay.
Philip, if you've seen me,
you've
seen the Father.
Amen.
But then the Bible says no man's seen God at any time. Jesus was expressing. That's what you and I have to come to a place to where we can't be a second person. Well, we're trying to express God. No, the devil's trying to express God.
Yeah.
It's like Brother Russ said. He made a good point the other night, or last night, night before last, to that. Satan's got a fivefold ministry just like Jesus. If he's a copycat, he's got his fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists.
Yeah.
Just like Christ has his apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. That was a good point because that's the truth. Because remember, they're trying to be ministers of the light. They're trying to be ministers of righteousness.
Yeah.
But they're all, they're not all devils, but they've let the devil enter in and do things that we say is not normal, but they say is normal. Here we go with the normal and abnormal again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say we must see that when God amorphied from here to here, he just stepped over and revealed his total self in another way.
Right.
Not me standing here and another guy is going to be here and then the Holy Ghost is going to be here. Okay? Is that all right?
Yes.
Because that's your Trinity. The Trinity is they see all these separations and they can't put them all together because they don't understand theophany. They don't understand. This theophany here is the same here, same here, same here.
That's right.
The same theophany of God that was standing said, let there be, because that's what they told him. They said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Creator. In other words, what was inside of that man they knew, they watched him create. They watched him take five loaves and two fishes and make two more fishes and 100 more fishes and 100 more loaves. But now remember, here's the catch. Remember, Jesus didn't just create from nothing when he was here on earth. Tell me. There's not one thing. He took what was already here and created. Right? Okay? But now you see Brother Brown come down and manifest the Son of God. He created squirrels from nothing. That's what God wants us to be. Because a lot of times we may need something, and you know what? Well, you're creating all the time. You're creating atmosphere. You're creating all these different things. We'll get into that a little bit later. I just want to kind of give you that, that little point. But remember, we take this man and we go, well, he's over here and we's over here. We're over here. If you don't read yourself in the Bible, it says the Word was made flesh. The Word in you was made flesh in you the day you got born again.
Right.
We were talking about something last night too, though. Everybody's looking for the last seed. Well, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not looking for the last seed. God knows who that seed is.
Right.
Maybe in China and Africa or wherever.
Right.
But my job is to when we get the baby here, help him mature.
That's right.
Because the last seed may already be in. But he can't be a baby and take a body change.
That's right.
He's got to be a grown individual in the Word to take a body change.
That's right.
Then when he comes to a place, if he's going to take a body change, we got to wait on that guy to get up there. But you got to have somebody to teach him how to get up there.
Right.
You don't just keep feeding him milk.
Right.
All right? So I'm not looking for the last seed. God will find him, and when he does, it's our responsibility to feed him enough to get him on his feet to where he's not wobbling like a baby. You know, he's walking on his own two feet. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. I told you we're on verse 2 and we're about done here. By whom also he made the world. Let's read 3 and then we'll stop right here. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, no one else, there was not 3 people on the cross, one person, purged him by himself. Look, by himself, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged, or what does that mean? Done away. He didn't just hide them. The blood of bulls and goats hid your sin. It wasn't no more. When this man came, when sin came up here, that turns into Christ's blood. But Brother Brown tells us in the token message that there's a red ring of blood all the way around the world, even today. But it's not animal blood where the sin goes up and just keeps bumping. Now the world does, because they're still under the law.
That's right.
But if you're in Christ, when your sin goes in here and goes through that blood, it turns white.
That's right.
Red through red is white. So that's what God sees. He sees the blood that he shed. So what's he going to do? He's going to, by himself, cleanse our sin. Mm-hmm. Sins. That's an S on there. Sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father.
Right.
Remember, who was the last one that, who was the first one that died? Stephen. Stephen looks up and sees Christ standing on, he's not standing here and the Father sitting on the throne.
Right.
He's come to a position, to a power and authority. Jesus said when he raised, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Why, who was he given from? The Father. In other words, there was no, when he came out of that grave, there was no flesh man that was on the earth and God man that was inside of him. He became a God flesh man.
Amen.
When he came out of the grave, all power in heaven and earth, he didn't have to eat.
That's right.
He wasn't ever tempted again.
That's right.
And see, before too, you say, well, how strange is that? Everybody in that sixth dimension today that's passed on from this life, they're not tempted.
Right.
They don't have a bad thought.
No.
They're not thinking things what they got to do. Blah, it's done.
That's right.
It's been cleansed by what Christ did. And then he is holding them in a place of purity and perfection. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angel that he hath by inheritance, what did he inherit? Eternal life in his body, obtained a more excellent name than all the angels. So let's go. Just keep reading Hebrews. Read the Hebrew series too. Sister Anna Connor is reading it. So y'all reading the Hebrew series, it'll tell you a lot about what, more depth than I give you. Ryan, can you take the upstairs?